My name's Randy Harden. It is December 1st, Saturday, episode 2 of Trail Tales TV. We're glad you're here. As Adam mentioned at the beginning, if you didn't hear it, at the conclusion of this, we'll also be posting this on our live stream. I'm sorry, on our YouTube channel, Wisconsin ATV UTV Association. So be sure you get signed up for that. It takes a little while after we're done here to get that all put up and going, but welcome to my office here behind me in December 1st. It probably doesn't look like that in real life out there, but picture me in some woods in northern Wisconsin, which is actually where I am in Adams County here. Tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about trail funding, how it works, answering questions that you can type in, and Adam is helping me as well as my granddaughter Emma. So they'll be feeding the questions as they come up. We are also going to be talking about a new club startup down in Ozaukee County, Belgium, Wisconsin. And I want to do a little wrap-up about last week's meeting where we put the call to action, and action we did have up in Antigo, Wisconsin, in Langley County. So with that, we'll just get started. And I think we'll start off, of course, with the new club startup down in Belgium. For those of you that may not know where that is in the southern part of Wisconsin or southeast part of Wisconsin. If you go down I-43 heading from Sheboygan to Milwaukee, it's about 20 minutes south of Sheboygan on I-43. Like I say, just over the line in Ozaukee County. So this club startup is going to happen on Wednesday night, December 12th at 7 o'clock. It's going to be at the Belgium Fire Department. It's on Commerce Street, 195 Commerce Street, and I really am excited for this new club to get started. At this club startup, they're going to talk about what the name, come up with a name for the club, its goals, its missions, future activities, officers, things of that nature. Luckily, we'll have some representatives from the Kettle Moraine ATV Club, near the West Bend area and that sort. And, of course, our WADFA folks, myself and others may be there, but for sure I will be. So come on down, come on out, come join the fun, and be part of something happening in southeast Wisconsin. And I would mention while I was on it, I was at a meeting last week with the Kettle Moraine Club and the Eden Club in Sheboygan County and Fond du Lac County, been working on a lot of neat things happening. So that's why we're excited to have Belgium and Ozaukee County into the mix. So from there, I wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to the hundreds of people that showed up for this past week's Wednesday vote in Antigo up in Langley County. And you may remember if you watched the last episode, or for those that didn't, we have a long time project of trying to get a bridge over the Wolf River up in Langley County that would connect the trail systems over to Oconto County. It's really a weak link in our trail networks where we hook up. It really has been a challenge for 10, 15 years off and on, trying to find a way to do this. And we finally came up with a way and a means, partnered up with our snowmobile associations up there. And we needed the Adams.
I just want to say hi to John Brantmeyer, who's watching.
Oh, John was one of our main players up there. Good evening, John. Well, anyway, as I was saying, this has been a long-time project, really, really important. We needed to get people there because this subcommittee, or this committee, per se, was going to vote whether to accept the grants that are coming from our, which we'll talk about later, our ORV fund, which is generated by ATVs and UTVs, and the other half from the Snowmobile Association, or the Snowmobile Registration Program, excuse me. So this committee was teetering or wavering if they were going to vote to accept these grants, which we were drastically needed to make this work. And kind of strategizing with our partners, we said we needed people there. We needed warm bodies to come and show their support for voting yes to accept these grants. Never quite worked so hard to get a grant accepted. In other words, to collect the money as this. But I was a little nervous. The meeting started at 1 o'clock. We put the all points bulletin out through Vmail, social media, our webcast here. And Come you did. Actually, the room was so full, they had to change the arrangement of the room. We thought we couldn't hold the meeting. It was so full of good supporters. The local clubs did a super job up there in presentation. It was, I won't get into all the details, but it was filled with all kinds of drama. I can't read that, Adam. It's not coming up on the tablet. Oh, wait a minute. There it is. Okay.
Showing a picture of what it is.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry. So we didn't rehearse this, but Adam is showing a picture on your screen there. We had, we estimate 225 to 300 people. And that was the big thank you that all of us need to give to everybody for showing up, because that did change the vote. I'm absolutely convinced they were wavering to vote this. But when they saw how much support there was in that room, in a very respectful, well-behaved way, I would add, I know that it changed the complexion of that vote. So thank you from all of our local clubs and from the State Association and the snowmobile groups speaking on their behalf. Thank you for showing up as you did. It was well appreciated. I'm convinced we wouldn't be talking about good things here if you guys wouldn't have showed up. So how do we pay for a bridge? You know, kind of leads us into how the funding program works. And in the most, I guess, common way, when we register our machines, that's everything. So when we often say the registration program, we are self-funding ourselves. So that $30 that we pay every 2 years, 15 bucks a year is what it amounts to, that goes into a dedicated fund that the state DNR manages, as was written in state statute by us ATV UTVers. Somebody has to manage the money. It's a full-time job, and then some. So our registration dollars have a system where they go into a dedicated account. It can't be used for anything else. It's combined with a formula for fuel tax, state fuel tax. It's actually 25 gallons per year, and we understand that we use a lot more than 25 gallons a year, but there's a reason and rationale for that. So that money from registration and our state gas tax goes into this dedicated account. By state law, our Wisconsin DNR manages that account. And by that, they collect it, they keep track of it, record it. And then we have grant specialists throughout Wisconsin working for the DNR that take the grant applications in. So the counties typically will work with the clubs on a local level, or a town or a city or village, and they will say, hey, we need, in this case, Langley County, we need a bridge. So there's different criteria, but they submit the grant application to the regional folks, who then gather it up and work with what they call the sponsor. It has to be, the sponsor has to be a government entity, so that, you know, there's more accountability. You know, the towns or city or village or a county, and most times it's a county, fill in the application and track that. And the grant sponsor then submits it to our DNR specialist, the regional specialist, who then eventually gathers them all up, works with the sponsor to make sure that they've crossed their T's and dotted their I's, and sends it to Madison, where it's compiled all of the different grants. And then here's the beauty of our legislation and our program. We have a 7-member citizen advisory council made up of writers. In fact, person speaking before, Adam's one. We have 6 others around Wisconsin that are on this. They're volunteers on this ORV council. They review all of the grants with the DNR. The DNR asks them their opinions. They vote on them. Actually, they run the meetings. They answer questions or ask questions of folks that may be in the audience. And they make the final recommendation to the DNR. Now, the DNR, again, it's a recommendation. But they typically follow what the ORV Council says, because we're the riders out there talking with the clubs, talking with the sponsors, riding those trails. And that's really generically how it works. So kind of recap, the money is self-generated by you and I, the riders, through our registration fees. 30 bucks every 2 years, 15 bucks a year, combined with our gas tax formula, of whatever the state gas tax is times 25 gallons per year. So those two figures go into the dedicated account that are then managed by our specialists and then overseen and recommended by our volunteer user group, if you would, what's called the ORV Council. And that takes care of things like maintenance dollars, rehab dollars, in new acquisitions, like that new bridge is a perfect example. That would be an example of it. And maybe 15 years down the road, a bridge needs a new decking. That's a maintenance or a rehab, depending on what it is. Same with the trail, a culvert washout, building things of that nature. So that in itself is really kind of a snapshot, if you will, how it works. It's a lot of work. I'll tell you this. I've been to observe the ORV Council. There are lots and lots of grants that come in that sometimes don't give as much information as you really would like. Now, they get these grant application summaries ahead of time. In some cases, some of them go out and actually ride or look at them or call somebody at the local level and say, give me more information. I'm trying to comprehend what it is I'm looking at on paper and how that relates to real life living there, if you will. So that's how they make their decisions. It's really sometimes a thankless job because sometimes people don't get what they want and don't understand all the ins and outs of it. But it is something that is very important. I like personally the way it works in Wisconsin because us, the rider group, the user group, really does have much input into this whole thing as far as where the money goes and for what projects. Struggle has been really when you look at it, we've been trying to get a rider input as to what kind of trail experience we want. And it's really come up to, we want more places where there's a more challenging areas. Sometimes we forget that the ORV Council doesn't say what kind of trail it is. They just approve yes or no the application that's in front of them. So what we want folks to do and sponsors is to apply for grants that do have a challenge area in it or challenging trail or not so, you know, not all highways or roads and things. I mean, granted, we need a mixture of everything. So that's really one of the things I want to mention. Hey, Rick Welsh from the Kettle Marine ATV Club. Good evening. I see you're on the screen there.
I'm just going to chime in too.
Okay.
They can't see me, but I think our next episode, I want to talk about the perfect trail. And
there's a perfect trail?
That's the key right there. and I'll be on camera next time. But let's talk about the perfect trail. What does that mean and how does it happen?
Okay, that sounds good. There's a lot of, when you're making decisions, a lot of interpretation that the ORV Council has to have, as well as the grant sponsors. A lot of these are county forests that, there's logging going on out there. We got to be versatile. We understand that. There's got to be something in it for everybody. So if they can move some forest logging operations around, but at the same time, if we make them all highways, well, there's so many road routes now that we can use roadways. So there's this mixture. I would also mention that while we're talking about funding and how the program works, we also have a winter funding. A lot of people don't realize that. Our summer funding is different on the rate per mile that we pay. So in other words, when the groomers are out in the summertime moving dirt, the maximum maintenance rate per mile is $450 a mile. In the wintertime, if a snow trail allows ATV use on it, and they get a mileage from the snow side out of their program, and then on the ATV side, we add another $100 a mile for the snow grooming. If that same trail allows UTVs on it in the 3 months of June, July, and August, at minimum, then they can apply for another $100 if they allow UTVs on it. Now, I mentioned the winter funding because, again, it's a different rate per mile. It's got different stipulations. And on the UTV side, we're looking as a state association to maybe tweak this a little bit where maybe we don't have that provision where it has to have summer use. There's places I know around the state that are just snow trails, and they don't allow it because it might be a crop field in the summer. So we're looking at some things. And all summer we were out going to different meetings around the state to get input from our clubs and folks in those regions as to their particular wants and needs and changes that they may want. So that's kind of how we work that. I guess going a little bit further into funding, I would bring up, just as the DNR state agency over in the grant program manages our money, because professionally there has to be somebody tending to this. It's a lot of work. And there's a lot of responsibilities. Along the way, out of the same program, we have a fund for what's called our Safety Enhancement Program, which many of you know is our Trail Ambassador Program. That's probably the most visible, but it's way more than that. The Safety Enhancement Program is a set of objectives that includes like that club startup that we're talking about, helping clubs get started, working with towns, cities, villages, working with snowmobile associations, motorcycle groups, other users of the forest and the lands, working with public officials. And the same way there, we have a program where we have to have administrators so that the volunteers that are doing, in this case, the trail ambassador work or the other work, that they have a worthwhile experience. It's just not a cobbled together, unmanaged type program. It's a very managed organization. So that is what's called the Safety Enhancement Program. We had got it going. It had been lost for a couple years here back in 2015 to 2017, and up and going again. And so we're really excited to get that. That also coming in 2019, out of that same Safety Enhancement Program, you'll start seeing some welcome centers around Wisconsin. That's due in part to that program being funded again, so we can get those kinds of items out on the trail and interacting with the rider groups. So that's kind of a recap of our funding in just an overview sense.
We're going to mention the LTEs and the law enforcement.
Yeah, out of that, that's a good point Adam brings up. Our grant folks we mentioned, but also out of our ATV money. Out of our ATV money, there's 9 what we call FTEs. That stands for full-time equivalent positions for law enforcement wardens or enforcement itself. Law enforcement goes internally and distributes those dollars, but they're geared toward our warden force, our credentials, our accountability there. There's another $500,000, $500,000 that is dedicated to county law enforcement. So we have 9 full-time positions assigned to the ATV program. And then we have another $500,000 of our funds that goes to the county rec officers. So they're out there patrolling as well as our warden force. And that was an important part that Adam made. We fund ourselves both in our trail maintenance and trail development and our program management through our law enforcement and our grant administration. So good point. We're really prideful that we manage ourselves. As I'm watching my lights flicker and wondering, what's happening upstairs? Here in my well-lit office, excuse me, what's happening at the other place in the woods behind me? I hope it's not an ATV coming up behind me.
Lightning storm.
Yeah, lightning, yep. And maybe that's it. So I guess if there's any questions anybody might have.
Why don't we talk about the process of applying, a club wants to build a trail.
Okay.
What would the process be for that?
Okay, so the club would need to kind of get their act together, and by that I mean figure out what it is you want to do. And I'll use that example. Maybe you need a bridge. Maybe you need some culverts. You have a generic idea of from point A to point B, or if you're going to go in a loop, what it is you want. And then you bring it to a potential sponsor. And again, usually it's a county, not always. the further north you go, it's almost all county foresters. But when you get down here in the southern part of the state, it may be a city, a village, a town, but some government sponsors. So then the next part is find a sponsor that would be interested in writing the grant for you. Sometimes the volunteers can help write the grant in that what the grant's going to say. That's why the sponsor is counting on the club to have the detailed kind of information. And then they submit it again to the regional folks at the grant program at DNR. And then when they eventually get around to the funding meeting that the ORV Council has, usually in August, I'll back up. You always have to have your applications in by tax day, April 15th. And that's the cutoff date. And then they get reviewed. And then the funding meeting usually happens in August. So we really count on the clubs to come with the sponsors, or come if the sponsors can't, to answer questions that the ORV Council may have on the minutia.
And we as the ORV Council will have a meeting in July. It's our pre-funding meeting. Snow Council does this as well, where we review the grants and work with the grant specialist, the regional grant specialist. So if we have questions, that they're answered by August's meeting, so we don't fund anything because of questions.
Right, and that's kind of a recent development. I'm really glad the ORV Council has kind of moved to that. So that gives also the ORV Council time to do the research, even if you want to go out on the ground and look at some items that maybe don't make sense on paper, and you can go out and ground truth, that we call it.
Yeah, and that's part of our job, to make sure we spend the money wisely and that we're representing the riders, where the money comes from. But yeah, we go out there, we check it out, we ride it, we take pictures, we bring it back for the rest of the council members to see. So it's a really good process that we've developed.
Right. Nope. And I think it's ever evolving from what I've seen. Which leads us back to, that's the spring, summer, fall. We often call that the summer projects on the dirt. And then how to better manage our winter. I think we're underserving our winter use, because the popularity and progression of the UTV in popularity with cabs, heaters, windshields. I'm talking to a lot of people that said, I used a snowmobile and now I use the UTV and I don't have to be as cold. You know, not everybody. A snowmobile is still the best machine over the snow. There's just no doubt about it. But we have to make sure that we're spending, you know, the ORV Council and we as a community are spending our money wisely. Our problem is we don't know how many people are riding in the winter. It's very hard to ask our council to make $500,000 decisions on funding when we don't know if there's 5,000 people riding in the winter, 25,000, 50,000. We have no mechanism. So we're working on some possible solutions on that.
And that's not including, and it's not applicable to ice fishermen or people on the ice.
Right. Yep. Yep, ice, it's a good point, is not considered a trail, snow or ATV. That's a whole different deal. And just like riding on the road, we wouldn't, you know, count those road routes or ice fishing. It's not part of the trail experience that we're talking about. That's how diverse the ATV and now the UTV side of things are. We use these things for just about everything. Going to the grocery store, going to Culver's, going to here, there. You know, up north, I'm convinced you don't even have to have a car. It's kind of like Uber, they share a car because everybody's riding their machines around, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I think we're onto something. Uber UTV.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. So, well, thank you, Brenda and Rick, for your kind words. Let's see. How can we get more young people involved in the clubs? I fear the future of clubs, from Jason. We talk about this a lot. One thing that we're working on, Jason, that we're really excited about is our Trail Ambassador program. We've got a youth program. What do we call it in there, Adam?
The cadets.
And we're hoping to bring some interest in. In fact, another part of that is bringing not necessarily the younger kids like the cadets, but the younger generation into our ambassador program, those that want to take some additional training. In the future here, we're going to be having some work with the emergency management system. And we're getting some fact, we got some people joined that would have probably never joined just for that side of things. So it's a challenge with kids, whether it's a 4-H club, a church group, or an ATV club and snowmobile club. We all have the same problems. Society has changed and how people interact, which is one of the reasons we're on social media here. We got to communicate the same way that the folks that we're after to get them involved. So it is not an easy question, Jason, but we talk about it all the time.
I think one of the things that those of us who have kids do is make sure you involve your kids with everything that you're doing and make the club part of a family. Right beside me, you guys can't see me, but right beside me is my daughter who's 12, and she's here just absorbing this so that she can pass this on.
Right. We have another question there. I'll go back to recap the details of the meeting in Belgium. So again, it's Wednesday, December 12th. It's at the Belgium Fire Department, which is, the address is 195 Commerce Street. Belgium isn't that big, but if you look it up on your Google or your GPS, it starts at 7 o'clock. This is a startup. I saw six people that have really pulled stuff together. They've done a lot of research. I met with a couple of them. And it's going to be getting input from interested folks. So that's why we got to get people there to show the interest so they can continue. They'll be picking a name, a mission and purpose, future activities, officers, that kind of stuff. So it's on the ground floor. What we always tell clubs when they're starting up, I know I always talk to the Keller Marine Club, they bring it up, that we really stress that while it kind of leads me into the next question on our screen, is how do you get trails? Well, trails in the southern part of Wisconsin, especially the southeastern part where you got so much either industrial property or you got farmland, is a whole different animal than it is in northern Wisconsin with public lands, acres and miles of public lands. So the clubs, though, in order to get any kind of riding experience, whether it's route, trails, or combination, every time you go into a meeting, they want to know who they, meaning village, town, city, county, who's going to manage this issue. That's why clubs are so important. It's got to be an organized effort to have success. And then when you get into the state forest trails or other ones, that really is one of our mentions here. Public property has a thing called master plans. And I'll use the Northern Highland in northern Wisconsin, 230,000 acres in three counties. They had to change a master plan in order for us to allow ATV use in there. So it was a process, a long process, because it wasn't mentioned before. We now have ATVs in that master plan. And the same would hold true with, in fact, that bridge I talked about in Langley County that was on a fisheries property, the master plan didn't allow for ATVs or snowmobiles on there. So we had to do a variance to the master plan so that we could use that quarter mile trail to get to the bridge. And the same would be, for instance, on the screen, they asked me about the Kettle Moraine. Master plan has to come up first, and it is coming up in the near future here. So there's a process the state came up with called, all these acronyms, ROA, Recreational Opportunity Analysis. So the Kettle Moraine Club, among others, ourself and many other clubs, religiously attended these meetings because they had to hear, do ATVers want in this property or that property, whatever that public land is, especially state land. And of course, in the example on the screen is the Kettle Moraine. So that's step one, is there's a process for showing interest. There's a process for them trying to gauge what is the supply and demand. Is there enough? And of course, we know that there isn't. I would also tell you that we're working with the state, and we have been for quite a while, and I've got a meeting this coming Wednesday with State Parks and Trails to try and come up with some property in the southern part of the state where we can put a tract of land with trails on it. But it's a long time process that people have to be involved with, and clubs are the key to all of that. And that's why this club topic tonight in Belgium is a perfect example. The Kettle Moraine Club, the Eden Club, the new club in Belgium, what we're going to call it. It needs a lot of local clubs in that area that you're talking about in order to do all the preceding steps to be considered for use on state land or county land. So that's how it is. And the balance there is you got to remember to have fun. If you do all the work, you don't buy these things to work. You buy them to have fun. So you got to balance the work part with the play part.
And the other part to remember is if we were ever to get trails in the Kettle Marine, say, it's going to be a process that you have to be on your A game when you go into these meetings, because we're all going to receive opposition, and it's fair for them to do that. It's all part of the democratic process of trying to get into the Kettle Marines. I've actually got a screen up here I'm going to show you guys. On the WATFA page, you can actually go to this under trail riding information. It's a snapshot of where all the trails and routes are in the state. All the purple are routes, all the yellow, greenish are trails. But you can definitely notice they're on the northern end, and that's really coming down to the public property versus the private. You can draw that line. It almost looks like, was it Highway 29, Highway 8?
Right. Used to be 8, now it's 29.
Yeah. So as you move further south, it's that private property where putting trails on becomes very complex, where state property and county properties are massive when you talk about it. And when you talk about private, you know, a 100-acre farm is actually small compared to what we're dealing with up north. So it's, you know, easements and agreements, and if one landowner doesn't like it, the snowmobilers are used to that. So.
Well, Adam, you said a very good part. It's part of the strategy of a club, besides having fun and doing other things, is to figure out their best spokespersons. Everybody has a good talent. Some people can put the bylaws together, can put a grant together, but maybe they shouldn't be the best at speaking to somebody. So we always try to find people that are able to sell what it is we're trying to get done and make sure that they're the speakers at these kinds of meetings. I've seen projects get torpedoed by having the wrong person doing the presentation. So that's some of what we as a state organization try to help them. I mean, it's got to be their decision, but we try to help them to go through that. And the Kettle Marine, again, is going to be helping us. They've gone through this, as well as the Eden Club. So hopefully they'll be at that Belgium meeting. But that's why it's tougher in the southern part here. And like right now, the holiday Christmas parades, I've had so many clubs that are going in these parades. You go, why do you do that? Well, you get to ride, but you're also telling the community, hey, we're a fabric. We're part of the fabric of this community. The Kettle Marine, the Antigo Club, and the State Association, WATFA here, we were part of a big fundraiser for Make-A-Wish Wisconsin. The Kettle Marine started it, added the Antigo, and then, of course, we jumped on board. And the point is, as an ATV-UTV community, collectively, we raised $35,000, folks, this past year, contributed to Make-A-Wish. Now, how does that help us get more riding area? Well, number one, we're doing it because it feels good and it's the right thing to do. But number two, it enhances our image. It showcases to the world that we're no different than maybe the Kiwanis Club or the JC's Club doing their different things, or a Lions Club. It's just what it is we do. So those are kinds of the things why those kinds of activities are really fun, but they're important to enhance our image. Because we're still fighting some image issues from years back when people were riding where they weren't supposed to and doing things they weren't supposed to, and that's part of what our Troll Ambassador, Troll Patrol program is about, is help self-police herself on that.
What's nice is when you get all this put together and a club forms and, you know, they work with us so we can help them, and it gets time to putting some actual trails on the ground or working on some shared trails, that the funding is there for it, and the funding is absolutely there, and we are, in the ORB Council, really excited to get new trails going as long as there's a club behind it, a purpose. Are they going to expand? You know, is this an isolated segment? Those things that we ask, because it's tough questions, and we want to make sure we allocate those funds appropriately.
Right. And this time of year, as the water becomes solid and forms ice, and I'll use the Eden Club and the Kettle Marine Club. We got the Eisenbaum Trail that just north of West Bend heads up to, becomes the Eden Club, the Eden Trail. Over into the Fond du Lac County area. So we may need to start down here with road routes and get some road routes in order to get some trails. Used to be the idea is you get some trails and then add some road routes. It's kind of flipped. The further south you go, you start with routes and then you start adding trail into it. So don't give up on those. And winter trail is what I was saying. So we're coming off the Eisenbaum. Possibly, you know, the goal is work on some routes to get up to Lake Winnebago so that you can get actually up to Appleton in the wintertime anyway. So that's the start. So we have any more questions? These are all great inputs. I appreciate everybody here. We've gone to our half an hour.
Shout out to Mike.
Oh, Mike jumped on?
Yeah.
Didn't seem there. Hey, Mike, he was out. I saw he had his Honda UTV. Got it pretty muddy today. But like many of our groups, there are snowmobiler and an ATVer. He was out putting some signs up for the snowmobile club he's part of today. And it is not a good day to be outside doing anything. So, buddy, you got to clean that baby up now.
Speaking of clubs, what is the funding mechanism for grooming? And how does that work? Because it's not the same throughout the state.
Well,
it's maintenance.
Yeah, it's a maintenance issue, and there's a per mile rate that I talked about, but there's also there's a chart, if you will, of type of equipment, how many horsepower, if it's a tractor or a groomer, the type of equipment you pull, and then for the driver, there's a rate for all of those that's built into that you and the ORV Council look at. DNR kind of lines it up, you guys approve it, so there's a rate per mile, there's a rate for the grooming equipment, there's a rate for the what you're grooming with, and then the driver itself. And in almost every case, the volunteers take that money, pop it back into the club account in almost every case, and that's what they use because the clubs have to buy or lease the equipment. That's not part of the grant deal. You just get the per mile. So when when the groomer's not moving, it's costing lease payments or payments to buy them. So.
And that's the important part about clubs is a lot of people don't realize who actually takes care of the trails. Now, there's some counties that do it on their own, and they're really good at it.
Right.
But there's plenty of places in the state that would their trails would fall apart without the clubs because they're passionate. They're part of the community and the county. They work with the county, and that's the important part, that they have the tools and the funding needed to work on those trails. And it's just, it works. It's a really nice partnership.
It does. Sometimes you should go if you think about belonging to a club. Maybe you live in the South and many of you belong to a club in the North and you can't get up there during the week, but they're wanting people. I know Adams jumped in the groomer. In fact, Emma was in a groomer, our granddaughter, up at the Dungood Club. That's part of the excitement to get youth involved too. Go out and do that kind of stuff.
I would just like to say, if Pat ever watches this, I'm still a little bitter that you asked her to go in the groomer and not me this last time. A little bit hurt about that.
But you drove it before.
That's not, it's the principle.
Oh, okay. All right. Those are all good questions. For a person that doesn't know what questions to ask, that's part of why we want to do these kinds of shows. So it's kind of take the mystery out of some of this. And again, down here in the South, we live in Sheboygan. That's where our home office is. We're almost always on a trail somewhere, like the one behind me, I think, is Adams County. Is that correct, where we're at?
Yeah, that's at Deracuse Park. Talk about Deracuse. They've received a lot of funding in the last few years through the ORV Council for expansion, and they're putting in one of those high-intense use areas, play area, fun areas.
Slow-speed trail.
Slow-speed trail, and we are so excited to see this materialize. And we're working with John, and it's just a fantastic place if you haven't gone and visited it down in Adams County.
Hey, a big shout out. I see it says Deb Hoppy's watching. It might be Deb, but it might be Dan too, from the Dusty Trails. And I think I heard that after many, 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 many years, in fact, I think you and I were up there before the Dusty Trails opened and did a ride with Dan and the Forester then. But I think he's, Dan, did I hear right, or Deb, that you're rolling, finally turning the reins over to somebody else. I know that's hard to do. You guys have nurtured that thing. But hats off to the Dusty Trails in Oconto County and the Hoppy family and the others that have made that thing go.
All right, one more thing about the funding.
Okay.
The emergency funding that we set aside for storm damage. We did a lot of that in the last few years because Mother Nature has not been so kind to those up in the north. But every year we as the council set aside emergency funding for repairs. That come up, bridge yep. washout, trail washout.
In the last couple of years, that's just been horrendous.
It's been horrible, but we put that money aside. So if you ever come to one of our meetings, we talk about that. That's what that's for, because we want to make sure that we can get those trails repaired, or even bridges that may be damaged. Dusty Trails had one of those bridges that we repaired.
Yeah, that one was a bad bridge. Hey, could you look up, looks like Ted has a question. I'm not sure where that is. It says train. I'm assuming that's trail. The Muscatine Trail, is that a non-motorized trail in Fond du Lac County? I'm not quite sure where that trail is. We'll look at that and see, is a possibility. And that's, but even if it isn't, while Adam's looking that up, I get that question asked, I don't know how many times a year, about the Mountain Bay Trail from Green Bay over to Tigerton area in there, Marathon County. And again, that master plan is really the challenge. Challenge one. So almost always those abandoned railways have what they call memorandum of understanding, or memorandums, agreements, cooperative agreements with counties. So the counties then do the master planning. And the other part of that is if they've used money from called the Federal Highway Transportation Enhancement Act dollars, which almost always they do, then there's a restriction on that money for motorized use. It'll say non-motorized use except snowmobiles in the winter. So those are things we look at.
It's Fond du Lac County.
It is Fond du Lac. I think it's west of Fond du Lac County. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things we have to check, the source of funding and the master plan, to know if that's an option or an opportunity. So that's a good question. That's always part of it. I'm kind of laughing at Mike B's here, so made it come in late. But Adam's going to be at the table next episode. Yeah, you could drive down here with your all dirty Honda Pioneer. And Winnebago County. So it's in Fond du Lac and Winnebago County. I'm told they're on the screen. So again, that would be the thing: master plan, funding source. Are they open to changing the master plan? If you know, the other users, it can be quite a battle. That Northern Highland battle, folks, was 10 years. And we finally broke through that as the evolution to make the change. But there you got 230,000 acres and miles of forest road that really wasn't being used. When you take a trail, well, in Sheboygan County, it'd be like the old Plank Trail. You have limited, you know, users, so you have to go through that whole process. So it's quite a game. Well, thanks, Tim. Tim's talking about the Langley County experience. I think that's second only, Adam, to when, after all those years, we got the Vilas County master plan changed. But the locals, it went so far there, folks. There's 22 county board members in Vilas County. They had an ordinance against any ATVs on county property, roads, everything. They could not break through the bias against ATVs. The local folks at election time got 11 people to flip the board. In other words, 11 people that ran on the ATV issue out of 22. So that's half of them. Obviously, there were some in favor of it already of the 22. It took that kind of local political power to least get away from the non-bias and get it to happen. So we went to that meeting in a little arborvitae town hall. There had to be 500 people there. I was a bit nervous, but probably 2/3 of them were pro ATV access, and the county changed their master plan. It took that ordinance, it's the same kind of thing, off that evening. And now we've got routes and trails happening in Vilas County pretty regular pace. And now that the Northern Highland has been a success story, or starting to get finished here, it's been a little battle, that then we can look at other states of property. But can't do it without clubs. So
Tim was asking if something from Shawnee County is going to get going. And we have some development from Shawnee County.
You know, it's interesting. We used to have a club out of Shawnee, a couple clubs. It was a great club too, Tim. I don't know if you were around then. They had some private property and holding special events. And the goal actually over in Tigerton, I don't know if anybody's ever been to the park in Tigerton. Quick shout on that. I just saw today that they're going to keep it open all winter. They're not going to groom it. They're just going to plow the parking lot, but you'll be on your own in the trail there. But the goal from Tigerton, that's a 500 acre park that we were really instrumental in getting going, was eventually to get the trail in and out of there and over to Gillett, where it starts on the Dusty Trail, you know, get over that way. And this club from Shawano had made great strides, a lot of work. They started by doing a one event a year on private property. Then they went to two events a year, got people used to it and said, well, there's really no issue here. But then, as happens in life sometimes, the club president, she was outstanding in relationship building. After 8 or 9 years, she wanted to turn the reins over, and not good or bad, but nobody could just fill her shoes. And so clubs come and go, and that's why our role as WATFA is to help new clubs start up like the Belgium one and others and keep them going. So I could go on, but everybody will get asleep here, you know, fall asleep soon. What else are you going to do on a Saturday night when it's raining and snowing everywhere, right?
Right. I mean, you could go out and put up trail signs for snowmobiles or snow trails and get your Honda Pioneer all muddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike also mentioned out of Gamey County, Winnebago County, Fond du Lac County. And again, those, that's the process there. And you can find a lot of this information online. Do the research. We have one of our regional guys, his name is Hank Wozniel. It's not his official title, but I call him our research analyst. He is digging into stuff all the time, and that's the kind of stuff you have to do to see if you can make a change or affect a change. But part of our hard, fast rule is you can burn yourself out if you don't remember to have fun. So the whole idea of this thing is to have fun, go on rides, socialize. Remember to step back once in a while so you don't look at it as a all negative thing. Because I've had good friends that actually have gone mentally. It's just strained them. So you got to know when to back away a little bit. And that's why you get a bigger group of folks to vent with and share and come back with different strategies. And I always say it's kind of like playing a chess game and a poker game at the same time. And sometimes they change the rules while you're playing the game on getting master plans changed and whatnot. All right. Well, I think that's it for us. It's been great with everybody. Again, Adam will be putting this up on our YouTube channel, probably an hour or two, mm-hmm. something like that. It has to do its thing. So I'll share that with your friends that couldn't watch this live, and we'll go from there. So thanks again. Signing off episode 2. And next week, Adam will be with us, me at the table here, as our 12-year-old is going to be part of our production crew. I'm looking over there at my granddaughter. All right. Thanks. See you soon.